Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for our second service. And thank you for joining us via live stream as well. Welcome. Welcome to Trinity Covenant Church. We've been talking about hope for the past couple of weeks in a series we've titled Living Hope. And this morning we will actually hear a message that I've titled Living Hope. It comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We'll just look at a couple of verses here, verses 36 to 38. Luke 2, 36 to 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Could you imagine this scene that's captured by this painting of what that moment was like? Last Sunday we talked about Simeon and this enduring hope that he possessed and had that held him through all the years and decades of his life to see Jesus. And now we have Anna, a prophet, a widow, who also was waiting for what we are calling the living hope of her life. And a simple question I'd like to ask as we have our time together looking at God's word is, why was Jesus Anna's living hope? Why was Jesus Anna's living hope? And there are several things I would like to point out as we dig a little bit deeper into this description and what has been captured for us here in Luke's gospel, specifically in chapter 2. First of all, in trying to answer this question, why was Jesus Anna's living hope? Because personal piety is not enough. We see a description of her. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. For all of us who have struggled and battled to live a life of devotion and dedication of our faith, we know how hard it is. Even to carve out 5 or 10 minutes during the busyness of the day to hear from God, to meditate, to pray, is a great accomplishment. Here we have one who not only did that 5 minutes a day, but literally was in the temple all day and all night, the house of God, praying, fasting. For a person that loves food, oh boy, maybe the praying I could do a little bit, but not the fasting. My goodness. And here you see her devotion far exceeding any of us here, all of us put together. Here is a holy woman. She was truly pious. She was dedicated. She was spiritual. And yet, she still needed a greater hope. It wasn't enough. And whether we identify as followers of Jesus or in our own lives, following something else, we will always come to realization that no matter how devoted, dedicated, spiritual we are, that as an end in and of itself is never enough. Anna possessed these things. She ministered. She loved living in the temple, praying, fasting. But it wasn't enough. She needed a greater hope. Secondly, as we think about and reflect on her life, we see here that heartfelt suffering is not enough either. Luke describes it that she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. Ironically, 7 is the Jewish number representing wholeness, fullness, perfection. And after reaching the milestone anniversary, she lost her beloved. And in a time and culture where a widow would be extremely vulnerable, no one to protect her, oversee the household affairs, everything, she lived until she was 84 years old as a vulnerable widow. To taste marriage for 7 years, reaching that milestone anniversary, to lose her husband would have been an unimaginable pain as she went through every day of her life. If there was someone that understood disappointment and brokenness and heartache, it would be Anna. And like a lot of us that have experienced pain in our lives, loss, grief, disappointments, often, in a weird way, we sometimes use that as an identifying marker in our lives. Sometimes our pain begins to identify us. In other religions, pain and suffering is a path to salvation. In other cultures, if you suffer more, you have the scars to bear that you possess wisdom and experience, and you have a gravitas in your life, a weight, because of the suffering you've been through. Here was a woman that suffered immensely, and yet, even in her suffering, even in the wisdom and understanding and compassion that she probably lived with and dispensed as she ministered, as she worshiped, as she fasted, as she praised, she would come to realization that her own suffering was not enough. She still needed a greater hope in her life. Thirdly, as we reflect on Anna and try to answer this question, why was Jesus her living hope? Thirdly, religious legal obedience was not enough. And here throughout Luke's gospel, we see the word of God, the law, the Old Testament law, the old covenant, all over. The very fact that Jesus was there, we see in Luke's gospel, verse 22 in chapter 2. And when the time came for their purification according to what? The law of Moses. They brought him up to Jerusalem, present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Even Simeon, we see here in verse 27, he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Anna knew the law as a good Jewish devout woman. She memorized it. She lived by it. She knew the law. She was surrounded by the law, the Old Testament covenant. The law is ever present here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, guiding all the activities, the circumstances, even the very fact that Mary and Joseph had brought the infant Jesus into the temple. And yet, even in her familiarity and being surrounded by the law of God, she needed a greater The law of God is a beautiful thing. But divorced from the one to whom the law pointed to, a Savior, a Redeemer, it would not provide the kind of hope that Anna was looking for. What else do we learn about Anna? Fourthly, we see her described as a daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. We realize that even her ethnic identity is not enough. As a child of the Jews, the chosen people of God, the race that would declare God's hand upon them, delivering them out of bondage of Egypt, demonstrating the power of God in the miraculous, the feeding from heaven, something called manna, water from a rock, deliverance. She was descended from the tribe of Asher. She was a Jewish woman, connecting her bloodline to the chosen people of God. But even in her ethnic identity, it would not be enough. she needed a greater hope. And to all the things that we often cling on to identify us, to find our significance, our value, our worth, we realize that apart from Christ, we will always be seeking for a greater hope in our lives. Her ethnic identity is not enough. Fifthly, and finally, we also see here that ministry service is not enough. She's described here as not just a woman of God who was devout, but she was a prophet. She ministered for 60 years in the temple, day and night, delivering God's message of hope, sharing the law of God to the people of God ever since her husband passed away. Night and day, praying, fasting, preaching, teaching, delivering the prophetic word of God. 60 years, that's a long time. And even in the midst of that, that would not be enough. She needed a greater hope. And for so many of us to find our ultimate hope, identity, our purpose in our work, in our ministry, in our careers, we will come to that point in our lives where we realize what it is all for. Is there a greater hope? And so we put all these things together of who Anna is, and we conclude this, that even with all these things, as significant and powerful that they are in her life, she was still looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Even the way in which it's phrased, we see here in verse 38, coming up to them, that's Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, at the very moment she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, the Redeemer. Despite all that she had accomplished in her life, the respect, the love, her piety, her devotion, her ministry, her work, her pain, her battle scars, none of that would compare to finally seeing Jesus. And we were reminded in a very similar way, a religious zealot named Saul, this Pharisee, who when finally meeting the Redeemer of his life, looking at all his amazing accomplishments, would declare, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Anna could say this, the Apostle Paul could say this, because our greatest need is to be delivered from the powers that hold us in bondage. Pastor Ligon Duncan put it so well to help us understand this. He writes that redemption refers supremely to the work of Christ on our behalf, whereby he purchased us, he ransoms us at the price of his own life, securing our deliverance from the bondage and condemnation of sin. Only Jesus could bring the true redemption that Anna and her people were eagerly looking for in their lives. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us." This is why Jesus was Anna's true living hope. And you see, this is very important to take a close look at God's word, especially during this Advent season, because often we think about Simeon, who had a chance to cast his eyes and pick up this infant Jesus to declare God's praises. Here we have Anna laying her eyes upon the Son of God, Jesus. We read the stories of Scripture, And we often say, well, that's awesome. They're so lucky. If I could have been there, if I could have seen Jesus in the flesh, if I could experience the miracles and the powerful workings of God that the Israelites got to experience, my faith would be so much stronger. I would believe and serve with so much more passion. But in so many ways, though we have never seen Jesus face to face with our own physical eyes, in so many ways we have seen and are more privileged than both Simeon and Anna. How can you say that, Pastor? Because both for Simeon and Anna, they would soon end their life's journey after seeing the infant Jesus. They would never hear the stories of the blind receiving sight, the lame being able to walk, the lepers who forever experienced the shame of their illness and uncleanness before God to be cleansed, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the dead raised, Jesus crucified, his death, his burial, his glorious resurrection, his ascension. They would not see those things, but through the gospel, through the scriptures, we have now experienced all these things. We are in fact more privileged than even Simeon and Anna. Anna widowed at an early age of at 84 years of age, near the end of her life, was allowed to see Christ. She not only saw him as the one who would be the redemption of Jerusalem and the redeemer of her own life, but she would see herself once again as a beautiful bride, this time as part of the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. A woman nearing 90 years of age, preparing for a new wedding as she reached the very end of her life. This is the transforming power of Jesus. We have a Savior and a Redeemer, a gospel that renews people no matter what their age or stage or circumstances or the brokenness of their lives. This is the true story of Christmas. Even in his infancy, Jesus is changing lives. Jesus received in the temple by Anna and Simeon, the most sacred of all places where people go to find their hopes met, to meet God. And here Anna would meet the true King and the one who is greater than the temple itself. What dreams do you have for your life as we come to the end of our time together? And a few questions to think about. What dreams have you had for your life? Do you still have? But secondly, as we think about Anna, how had Anna's dreams changed in her life through her loss, through her disappointments, and then towards the end of her life to see her Redeemer? How is Jesus, Anna's redemption, and how is he yours as well? All those that would find their hope in him would lift up their eyes to heaven and raise their voice with the new song in their hearts and sing along with all those heavenly hosts declaring the glory and beauty of God found in the person of Jesus. Fanny Crosby was one of the most prolific 19th century American sacred song writers, writing almost 9,000 hymns. And I didn't know a lot about her. When I first saw the picture, I'm like, why is she wearing sunglasses? I didn't know that before she was of 7 months of age, she would lose her sight. She would write songs like Blessed Assurance, Savior, more life than more than life to me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Blind from infancy, losing her father when she was just 6 months old, God brought a grandparent into her life who would encourage her to know the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ and in his word, the power of grandma. And age 10, she began to memorize all 4 Gospels, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, and many of the Psalms by heart. Thank you, grandma. She would declare that when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. Her living hope of her life was seeing Jesus. It was shortly after the conclusion and the devastation of the Civil War in 1872 that Fanny Crosby would pen the words to this great hymn that was made popular during the Billy Graham Crusade of 1954 in Nashville, Tennessee, by Reverend Cliff Burrows, who learned this from his ministry in England 2 years earlier. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. You almost can't just say it. It just comes out. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory, great things he has done. Personal piety is not enough. I don't care how devoted you are. Heartfelt suffering is not enough. Religious legal obedience to the letter of the law is not enough. Ethnic identity is not enough. And even your passionate ministry service, your volunteerism, career will never be enough. Only Jesus can be the living hope of your life, as we've seen in Anna, in Simeon, and in a blind lady named Fanny Crosby. May we once again find our living hope in the person of Jesus this coming Christmas. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that reminder that often the things we place our hope and dreams in are often dashed and broken. We thank you, Father, for reminding us through the life of both Simeon last week and Anna this week, in the midst of, for some amazing accomplishments and the suffering and the wisdom and the ministry and the knowledge of your law and the devotion to you, yet even know that Anna was longing to meet the one who would be her living hope, her Redeemer. I pray in the midst of this Advent season that once again we would place our hopes, our dreams, our redemption back in you. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy that are ever poured out upon our lives. May we once again be reminded of the one who is our true redemption and hope.